So we are in the middle of our worship series, Why? And we're looking today at why church. Simon Sinek is a leadership author and expert, and he has this theory that we've got to start with why before we get to the how and the what of what we do. And in fact, Principal Guy, when he met with his teachers for one of the very first times, they started with why. And he wanted the teachers to focus on that question as well. Why are they at Rockbrook? Why are they there? Why do they teach? And so we as a church have to ask that question as well. Last week we looked at the question, why Jesus? Today is why church? And next week we're going to look at why VRUMC, why Vista Ridge United Methodist Church? And to get to the question of why church, I think it might be helpful to start with why not church. Why don't we go to church? There are a number of reasons why we don't go to church. And if we start with this, we might begin by recognizing there's apathy and there's anger. Apathy is the fact that bed is a really good reason to not come to church sometimes, right? Or biking, or brunch, or barbecues. There's a lot of B's and reasons why we might not come to church, right? Even back to school, tax-free shopping is a good reason to not come today, right? There's a lot of reasons, and many times it's apathy. It's nothing against the church, but folks might drive by 10 different churches without even thinking about them. Instead, they're thinking about the important things that they have to do, the things they need to get accomplished. And so there's just an apathetic response to the church. And for some people, it's apathy that keeps them away from church. For other folks, it's anger. There's a real sense of anger and a recognition that the church in our 2,000-year history hasn't always gotten it right. And so as we look at church history and as we look at the church's role in this world, at times, there's some reasons to be angry, right? We've got colonialism or the church's role in slavery and segregation, pedophilia, mismanagement of money, homophobic rhetoric, limited roles of women. Numerous countries have used it for nationalistic motives, and we could just go on and on and on. And if we in the church don't acknowledge that, then we're going to be left behind. Because there's a ton of folks outside the walls of the church that are angry at the church. Because they think about these things often. And so we might need to at least be aware of why somebody might be angry. There's those big reasons, and sometimes those life-changing reasons, too. As I talk to folks, many times they've been angry at the church because they've been hurt or wounded by it. They've been in a church where they didn't feel accepted or loved, and so they get angry. Or maybe they were hurt within the walls. And so there's a good reason for folks to be angry at the church. Why not church? Well, apathy and anger. And even as I look at the anger, I'll be kind of transparent with you. There are many times when I ask the question, why church? And I look at all the evil and the bad that the church has done at times, and this isn't scientific or anything, but I'll acknowledge that I think the church as a whole has done about 55% good and 45% evil throughout its 2,000-year history. I don't know if those are the right numbers exactly, but there's a recognition that I struggle with, but I'm here, I'm part of the church because I want us to be a part of that 56%. Maybe moving it to 57%. Good. But we might acknowledge that there are plenty of reasons to stay outside the walls of the church. But so the question for us today is, why church? Why would we choose to be a part of this church that has both a wonderful history and some pretty dark spots as well? I'd say that if we can answer the question, why church, then we'll move forward in the right direction. Because the why church informs our how and our what. And any time we look back at church history and the church gets it wrong, it's because they've strayed from their why. So if we can know our why, then we'll be on the right trajectory forward. So as we study why church, on the back of your bulletin, you might find a spot that says why church. And feel free to take notes and just jot down anything that might resonate with you that you can pray over later in the week. But as we ask that question, we think we begin by saying, recognizing that Christ instituted the church. Christ instituted the church, and so that's a pretty good reason to start asking the question, why church? We find this in the Gospel of Matthew as Peter and Jesus kind of interact. And Jesus says this, he says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Jesus talks about building his church. And even as we go through the scriptures in the New Testament, what we see is that there's this recognition that there's a church together doing this thing called Christianity, and they're moving forward. It's kind of an assumption that Christians aren't just going to be alone and by themselves, but that they're going to be with a group of people. So Christ institutes the church, and from the beginning we see groups of believers gathering together. And so that's a good thing, but I don't think that fully answers our question, why church? What I start wondering is, why would Jesus want us to be in church? Why would Jesus institute a thing that we call church now? And what was Jesus' purpose in that? And to help us understand that, I think it helps to look at Brian McLaren, and he's got a book called The Great Spiritual Migration. I want you to hear what he says. He says, we hear Jesus say, follow me, 87 times in the four Gospels. How many times does he say, worship me? Zero. Name a religion after me. Zero. Recite a creed about me. Zero. Erect buildings in my honor. Zero. That's not to say that these things are wrong, but succeeding at them without actually forming followers of Christ is like climbing a ladder that's leaning against the wrong building. So we've got to start with why. And our why is that we become followers of Jesus, that we follow in Jesus' footsteps. In fact, when we look at the New Testament, the word disciple or follower or student is used 250 times in our New Testament. There's something about following in the footsteps of Jesus that is really at the core of who we are as Christians and why we do church. And so if Jesus wants us to follow him, I think we just got to just get it more simplistic as we go through this, getting to the why answer. And I look at this teaching that we find in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus is with a Pharisee, and they're kind of going back and forth. And the Pharisee, Jesus, out of all the scriptures, what is the greatest commandment? The most important thing? In other words, if we're going to follow Jesus, what do we need to do? And Jesus said to him, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul, your mind and your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, he says. And then a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Jesus has a way of taking all these scriptures and saying, if you want to follow me, love God and love your neighbor. Those are the two most important pieces. And so if Jesus institutes the church so that we can follow him better, the first steps for us is to figure out how can we love God and how can we love others. So that part of the answer to our question today, why church, is that the church organizes disciples of Christ to love God and to love our neighbor. And the first part of this is the church helps us love God. That's the beginning. I think as we as a church, as a body of believers gather together, we start to love God in a deeper way. And it begins with us knowing about God. Now, us knowing about God means that each Sunday there's an opportunity for a sermon, and hopefully you learn more about God. We have small groups, and we have Sunday school classes. We have opportunities to get together, and we read scriptures, and we learn more about God. We in the Methodist Church, we use scripture and then tradition and reason and experience to help us have a better understanding of God's will in our life, of what God wants of us. It helps us learn more about God. And so we get in dialogue with one another and we figure out, what is the scripture saying? What is God saying through this? And I find it really helpful to read other theologians and to read theologians and perspectives outside of my little world. And so we try to read perspectives and people from other ethnicities and cultures and countries to make sure that we don't get a limited version of who God is. But we read scriptures and then what all these other folks say about God, and we start to learn more about God. But knowing about God isn't the be-all, end-all. It's knowing God that is most important. It's knowing God that is far more important than knowing about God. And so we create time in our worship space to just sit in silence because we believe that the power of prayer helps us get to know God better. Sometimes we're speaking to God. Sometimes we're listening to God. As we gather each week, we sing songs. And for my friends who didn't grow up in church, the songs are the weirdest part for them, to be honest with you. They come in and they're like, everybody was facing the same direction and singing at the screens. And it freaked them out at first, but really the heart behind us singing isn't to sing at screens, but it's instead to sing to God. And as we begin to fall deeper in love with God, our words come from our soul and we sing them together. It's our opportunity to praise God. So we pray. And in the act of prayer, we become more compassionate people. We sing and we worship God. We as a church participate in the sacraments. Sacrament of communion and of baptism. These are opportunities to get to know God better, where we experience God. We call the sacraments of water, of baptism, and communion holy sacraments. They're opportunities to experience God's grace, God's mercy. When we participate in these, we believe that God is here and present and moving and building a relationship with each and every one of us. So the church exists to get to know God, to fall deeper in love with God. But then it moves us to this other place where we fall deeper in love with our neighbor. And I want to look at the scripture passage again that Rory read earlier out of Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "And let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near." As we look at that passage, we can kind of resonate with them. The early writer of Hebrews discovered that there were some folks who had gotten out of the habit of meeting together. And he's saying, don't stop meeting together. You need to keep meeting together because it sparks love and good deeds. Brian McLaren, who we referenced earlier from The Great Spiritual Migration, talks about moving from organized religion to organizing religion. He says, we don't need organized religion where we sit and we come and we feel like everything is just neat and dandy. But we need to be organizing religion, where we as a people come and we gather together so that we can organize out of love to then go into the community and make a difference. Every time we gather, we have the opportunity to organize ourselves again and again, to reorient ourselves when we get off course and to move in the right trajectory. So why church? Well, because the church, as organizing religion, sparks love and good deeds. And I need that spark of love and good deeds. Because I know for myself, I can be pretty narcissistic. If I go for a period of time without thinking about God, then all of a sudden I start thinking that the whole world revolves around me. And I start thinking, I need this and I need this, instead of I can give this and I can serve here. We need a God to help reorient us. And we often find that within the church community. And the church community helps us recenter ourselves on what's most important. As we learn more about God, we are sparked towards love and good deeds. Say, why church? I think because the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, has the opportunity to be the greatest force for love and good in this world. I think the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, has the opportunity to be the greatest force for love and good in this world. See, as angry and as frustrated as I am with the church at times, I recognize that this body, this universal church, when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we know our why, we can do some powerful things for God. And the more we read scripture and the more we see God's vision for this world, the more we're able to hop on board with what God is doing. And so when the church gets it right, they start schools and they start orphanages. They dig water wells. They feed hungry people. They speak out against human trafficking. And as we struggle with the real events going on in our world today of mass shootings and the crisis on the border, we as the church have the opportunity to say, God, fill your church with your Holy Spirit and organize us in a way that we are making a difference for the kingdom of God. See, the church, when the Holy Spirit's part of it, we fall deeper in love with God and deeper in love with other people. 4 years ago, the North Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church got together and said, we're gonna move forward. We're gonna organize together to make a difference in public education. And the North Texas Conference is composed of our church and other Methodist churches kind of in our region in the North Texas area. And so instead of just being organized religion and sitting back and letting the world happen to us, the leaders of our conference said, we want to make a difference in public education. So they started a ministry called One Plus One. And they encouraged every single church in our conference to partner with an elementary school. And then they encouraged members of those churches to mentor in the schools. And they said, one student and one adult. And we believe God can do some phenomenal things through those relationships, through those partnerships. And so we are organizing together to bring about love and change in this community. But the awesome thing is that God started speaking to this church well before God spoke to the bishop 4 years ago. 7 years ago, the members of this congregation got together and said, we want to partner with Rockbrook Elementary. And so for the past 7 years, you've been building relationships with them. You've been going into schools and mentoring with them. You've been serving teachers and writing cards to them and caring for them. You've been the hands and feet of Christ represented in Rockbrook Elementary. So I think we as a church have to get back to our why we exist. And when we do that, we bring about life and light in this world. So why the church? I think ultimately it comes down to the church as a training ground for love. At its most simplest form, why church? Because it's a training ground for love. All the kids right now that are in Sunday school, they're being trained in love. Each time our youth ministry gathers together, they're being trained in love. Every time we gather together, we have this opportunity to study the scriptures, to learn more about God, but more importantly, to know God. And to hear God tell us that we are children of God, loved by God. And as we fall deeper in love with God, then we have the opportunity to say, God, how do I love my neighbor? And God creates space for us to build relationships. This is a training ground for love. And I am grateful for the church. May God continue to help us answer our why so that we can be a part of life-giving relationships in our community. Let's pray. Holy God, we recognize that sometimes we get off course. Sometimes we focus on the how or the what of church and forget about the why. But God, we pray that we might be a training ground for love, that we might experience you here in this place, and that from that we will emerge from these church walls to team up with the work that you are doing outside the walls, to recognize that you are at work showing your love and your compassion in the world, and we pray that we might partner well with that. God, help us live into that. Let us be your disciples and follow you fully. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.